right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Podzilla 1985. We are hoping that you are all having a wonderful Easter today. We got a very special show today, something I've been looking forward to for quite a while. It almost didn't happen. I'm glad it's happening. I want to welcome my good friend Tanner from the Little Egypt Investigative Paranormal Society. Tanner, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
Today, we're talking about ghosts, something you and I have talked about a million times, not on the air, and I figured we would take our love of the paranormal onto the air.
Yeah, I've been wanting to share, like, you know, everything in this area, because there's not a whole lot of people that come and talk about it.
No, not in, like, this area. Well,
people that want to, but they're too afraid to come and talk about it. They're afraid. There's like a stigma around it, embarrassment.
Yeah, that stigma that still exists, that if you believe in ghosts or little aliens, that you're
a kid
or a freak or Nate or something like that. But, you know, one great thing about today in our society, the love of the paranormal is rising. Whereas before, 10, 15 years ago, you and I would not be sitting here talking about this because, like you said, we would be afraid of being ridiculed or made fun of, you know, or people just believing you're a nutcase. Yeah. But with shows like Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters, all that stuff, it's really starting to become pop culture where even the people that don't necessarily believe in the paranormal enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. And it's doing record sales, business, books, movies. Paranormal Activity came out and it was a huge success.
The first two.
Well, that's debatable.
Yeah.
I like the first one, the third one as well. The second one and the fourth one I could probably do without.
Yeah.
You've seen all of them, I'm sure.
Unfortunately.
That doesn't sound like a glowing review for the film.
Well.
Okay, now hold on. Now, this is off topic. This is not on my list. This is not on my list, but I want to get into this.
Yeah.
Because I drove, I don't know, when Paranormal Activity, the first one, came out, I was so excited to see that movie. And, you know, it was limited release, limited areas. We had to drive to, Lindsay, where did we drive
Carbondale.
To see? We drove to Carbondale to watch it.
And I fell asleep.
And my fiance, Lindsay, fell asleep while, you know, my ex-roommate, Bob, and I, we loved it. We thought it was a great, accurate representation of Paranormal Activity. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Paranormal Activity?
The first one I found quite, it was entertaining. It was like the jump, just like jump scares of it.
Yeah.
They were very good quality, just like the use of the sounds and everything. And I, some of the stuff they did, kind of accurate with some stuff that I've
That's what I was going to ask you. And obviously, you are a ghost hunter, which is why we have you here on the show talking about this. Is it close to what you've experienced personally?
When it comes to that would be considered like a poltergeist type activity,
right?
I've experienced a few incidents like that.
Yeah.
Never anything to that degree. And I mean, I've heard stories from people who I've gone to investigate their homes for them, and they have cabinets just flying open or
dishes flying
flying off the counter out of the cabinets.
Have you ever seen that yourself?
I have not. I have witnessed cabinets opening on their own.
Really? Where was that at?
It was where I'm from. I'm from Carroll.
Right. Carroll, Illinois.
Yeah, Carroll, Illinois. And up the road about 8 miles is Mount Illinois.
Right. Close to where I'm from originally.
Yes.
Yep.
There's a little road out there called Lufkin. It's in the middle of the country. And my brother and sister-in-law lived out there.
Now, is this anywhere close to Wagner's Hill?
Yes.
Okay, because I have been to Wagner's Hill. I actually did an investigation there myself. And Lindsay, again, caught a great picture of something. So I have experiences there. What did you see?
This property kind of ties in with Wagner's Hill, with the story of Wagner's Hill in that area.
And what is the story of Wagner's Hill? For those that may not be aware, what is the story?
The alleged story is, there's several, but the one I've always heard.
Right. Oh, yeah, because there's like 50 different versions of that thing.
Like, the main one I've always heard is a man comes home, Mr. Wagner comes home, and he finds his wife cheating on him.
Right.
He kills her, cuts her head off, and throws her down a well. That's inside the woods. Now, inside these woods, there is a cemetery that literally dates back. I think the newest headstone there is like 1898 or something like that.
Pretty old.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan levels of old.
Yes. And there is a well. Now, whether that story actually happened, I've heard from people who say they knew the people who lived out there and that never happened.
Right.
And it was just a story they used to scare people away from the property because there was a cemetery there.
Right.
To I've heard it happens. It actually happened.
Wait, the story that I heard, and what's great about ghosts and stuff like this is that there's so many different stories for it and different versions of it. And sometimes the myth's a little bit better than the reality. What I had always heard is that old Mr. Wagner was out chopping wood and his wife came up with a glass of lemonade, wasn't paying attention, and off with her head. I think the only constant with this story is that the head comes off. Yeah. Now out there at by Wagner's home, you said Lufkin?
Lufkin Road.
Lufkin Road. What did you see?
Well, my brother and sister-in-law had a piece of property out there. There was two trailers set on it.
Right.
One they lived in, and another one that his mother and father lived in until they passed away. About, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after the mother, she was the last to pass. She passed to cancer. They were over there cleaning, and they kept hearing different sounds, people talking. At one point in time, they literally heard their mother speaking.
Who had passed away.
Who had passed away 2 or 3 months prior
right.
to this. So they called us, and like we always went over to the house anyway. We watched Ghost Hunters with them all the time.
Right. So this was recent.
Well, 2007, December of 2007.
2007, okay. Yep.
So we go over, we're talking about it, and we just gather up all the equipment we could possibly gather, which at the time wasn't much. It was an old VHS tape recorder, a couple of digital cameras, and right. a digital voice recorder.
Because we talked about this on a couple of shows ago. Yeah. You're like Podzilla. You're not rich.
Yeah, we're not rich.
We do with what we can.
Yeah,
you
by any means. And
yeah.
Those means aren't very good.
Not usually.
Right. So we started investigating. And this investigation wasn't just like a one-night thing. We investigated this place 2 or 3 times a week for months. And we got something different every time. I went and bought new batteries for the camcorder,
mm-hmm.
fully charged. They'd been on for 8 hours, like the charger said.
Right.
And we put them in there. 30 minutes in, the batteries are shot. They're dead.
Because as people that are into the paranormal know, or if you don't know, ghosts allegedly draw energy from electronic devices, and that's how they manifest themselves. So they were drawing energy from your batteries and draining them dead.
Yeah. And not only is the theory that they drain energy from batteries, but they believe that they had the ability to drain energy from anything, people included.
Right.
I've seen the cases where an investigator says, you know, use my energy, take energy from me
to form and right.
And, but back to the trailer, these EVPs, electronic voice phenomenons.
Right.
There was, I don't know how true it was, and it's just one of those things that sounds like a mythos like you would have with Wagner's Hill.
Right.
Supposedly, there were some people that lived on this property at one point in time, and there was cops called out here for this guy who was, they was wanted, I don't know, I guess for murder or something.
Right.
And he had ended up killing himself with a gun as the cops were there to get him. The night they told me this story, I'm going through the EVP evidence, and the house we were staying in while we left everything recording.
Right.
Was less than 100 yards away. Okay, we're being quiet. We got the TV down low. There's no way we're causing any type of noise pollution to the evidence.
Right.
We come in after 2 hours, and I pick up my recorder, and I go back and listen to it. On the recorder, about 30 minutes in, we hear what sounds like the old-fashioned crank sirens.
Like the old cop, the alarm siren kind of thing.
And you literally hear what sounds like heavy, heavy boot steps on a hardwood floor. This is a trailer. There's no hardwood in this house.
Right.
And we hear them walk back and forth. We hear, and they're shadows. Like we got the camera set up in the kitchen pointing towards the cabinet. See if we can catch them
moving or
anything. Because,
right.
I mean, we already had proof of that happening.
Right.
And about the same time as the recorder is going, we hear the boot steps on the recorder. We're seeing shadows in the kitchen. And there shouldn't be. There's nobody out there.
You're seeing this on the spot. This is not on video. You're seeing this with your own eyes.
No. This was on the video.
Okay. So you were unaware that this was happening.
Yeah, we were unaware that this is happening. But we had everything synced up to where we could tell that the boot steps and the shadows were almost simultaneously, if not just a few seconds off.
Right.
The sirens got louder, but never so loud that it sounded like they were just outside. But you could tell they were getting louder. And then eventually you hear a bang, bang, bang on what sounds like a door. It's faint, but you hear bang, bang, bang.
Right.
you hear a few more footsteps, and there is a distinct sound that a drawer makes when it opens.
Yeah, like a creaky kind of...
And then when someone pulls something out, and if it's usually longer than the opening, they hit the front of the drawer
right.
and lift it up. You hear that, and then you hear another bang, and then click, pop.
Gunshot.
Literally, it didn't sound like a gunshot, but it was that you hear click, pop.
Right.
That's all you hear. And I mean, whether that story was true, I don't know.
Well, you know, most people you would tell that story to or be in a situation like that, they would call you crazy
yes.
for wanting to even do that. What made you interested in the paranormal to begin with? What got you into this to this life?
Oddly enough, it wasn't ghosts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a child of the 90s.
Right.
Aliens. X-Files.
X-Files. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely, yeah.
And on a side note, they're bringing it back.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Which is great, great news. So X-Files got you into this.
X-Files got me into the paranormal. And then from X-Files, I grew to mythical, quotational marks there.
Now, what do you mean by mythical?
Like Sasquatch, like they say.
Oh, cryptozoology.
Yeah, they say they don't exist.
Right. Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
The theory of Atlantis.
Yeah. And I moved into that.
Right.
And I was on that for a long time. I still study it today. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Same but, here. Yeah. But come around, you know, the 2000 area. And, yeah, around 2000. I was living in Kentucky. And my aunt had an apartment in Barlow, Kentucky, which just across the river. And I swear one night I'm in my bed going to sleep and I hear horses. I hear horses plain as day. And I know for a fact there's no horses within 10 miles of my house.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a little odd. So, you know, I knew the place wasn't always an apartment. I didn't know what it was before. I didn't know if they had built it from scratch. And like 2 weeks later, I'm sitting with my aunt. They're going through old photo albums. And I go, oh, yeah, this is the picture of your cousin working on the apartment you're living in now. I'm like, oh, what was it before? It was a stable.
Hmm.
I mean,
so you got phantom horses phantom from a horses. Stable that
yeah.
used to exist.
And like a lot of people don't even delve into the whole idea of paranormal spirits being animals.
Right.
But it's one of those things. I believe that's possible too. I think anything and everything that lives
can be a ghost.
Can be a ghost.
Well, you know, they say also animals are they have a heightened sense of the
yeah.
paranormal. So the X-Files and phantom horses
yes.
really brought you into this.
Brought me into it, yeah. As crazy as that sounds, I'm...
Well, it's any paranormal experience is going to sound crazy.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this before. When I was young, before I got into the paranormal, there was an incident at my own house where I was walking. It was probably 2-3 in the morning. You know me, I don't sleep. I've never slept. I still don't sleep. And I'm walking in there. I'm getting a drink of water, as I often do. I'm a teenager, probably 13, 14. I come back out and I see my father walking toward me and he's walking at me at such a pace that I have to jump out of the way to get away from him. I mean, I'm not talking about I saw him out of the corner of my eye. Plain as day, I saw a man walking toward me that I thought was my father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I turn around and I say, you know, damn, Dad, watch where you're going. You almost knocked me over. Nobody there. Nobody there. I swear on a stack of Bibles this happened to me. It opened my eyes to what could be out there. From there, I told you I loved the TV show Sightings from the 90s, which you don't know this right now, but the intro music to the show will be the intro music from that show, which is really cool. And I hope somebody out there caught that reference. But Sightings up to now with Coast to Coast AM, you and I are big fans of that. George Norrie, one of the best shows. I take a lot of inspiration from him for that. What do you think about all of this now becoming so big? What started as a weird little obsession that you and I had has suddenly become big business. Do you think that these shows are genuine? Do you think they're just cashing in on the craze? Or do you believe in what you're seeing on TV and hearing on the radio?
Well, when it first started, like before Ghost Hunters came on.
Right.
Before it was popular, before they even had a show.
Yeah, because there really wasn't anything before Ghost Hunters.
There wasn't. There was the occasional documentary that would come on.
From right.
The scariest places on Earth.
Right.
And stuff
yeah.
like that.
It was usually pretty corny.
Yeah.
There was Sightings, which if you haven't seen it, and I'm talking to you specifically and all the listeners out there, if you haven't seen it, go look some of this stuff up. Because like I said, it was basically Dateline for the paranormal, treated it with respect. I still don't think there's anything like it. But now that Ghost Hunters is out, as you were saying.
Yeah, back then there was nothing. It was like, if it was there, it was corny. You could tell it was faked.
Yeah.
Granted, if you're there, it's terrifying. If it's happening to you right there, it's terrifying. You may know it's fake, but it's terrifying.
Right.
And that was the thing they were looking for back in the 90s and early 2000s, was they were looking for the jump scare.
They were looking for something to get ratings because it was like a little horror movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then comes Ghost Hunters. When I first started watching the show, the first three or four episodes I watched of them, they got evidence every place they went.
Yeah.
I'm very skeptical of that.
And a lot of people are. Yes. Yeah.
But then, you know, following episodes, they were coming up on places where they're going through and like, we got nothing. We went through 8 hours of evidence and never heard anything.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, maybe these guys are legit.
Yeah.
And then they do the live shows on Halloween.
And I love the live shows. I wish they'd still do them.
Yeah. The live shows were very, very, very entertaining. It was kind of slow at times when there was nothing going on. Because you can't go and do an 8-hour investigation and expect something to happen every 10 minutes.
No, in most investigations, you know this personally from experience, and I've done a little investigating myself. If you go out and investigate for 12 hours, you may get two pieces of evidence in 12 hours. It's a slow process, and it takes a lot of patience.
And that's a good night.
That's a good night. Yeah. Most nights you don't get anything.
Yeah. I mean, and you may go to a place that you know for a fact is haunted, that you've gotten evidence before. And you may go there one night, just take some friends there. You may not get nothing.
Right.
Nothing is guaranteed.
And you know, with these TV shows, I'm sure they record – obviously, they record way more than you see.
Yeah.
They just condense it down. They stuff it full of an hour of the best moments. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's a lot of pressure on those shows to provide evidence. Because, you know, nobody's watching a show about ghosts to not see ghosts. Yeah. So do you buy into it? Do you think it's still real? Or do you think now that it's become pop culture, they're enriching it to sell better?
I do think that's what they're doing now. Now that it's became so popular, you know, you have Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, my personal favorite is Ghost Adventures.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't handle what some of the stuff they do.
Well, because they seem like us.
Yeah.
They seem like just a couple of average guys that go out there.
They did.
They did.
They've become too Hollywood now.
Which is why I think Nick Groff left the show, which was a tragedy. I haven't watched that show since. Yeah, and he wasn't even my favorite guy on the show.
Yeah. I mean, when they first came out, when Ghost Adventures first came out, they had the documentary. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I have seen it. That was a great documentary.
That was an amazing documentary. Yeah. I sat at home one night and I watched it and I was truly terrified. I've never been terrified at any type of ghost hunting show or documentary or anything. When that brick came flying by and that board came falling, terrified.
Or the ghostly image walking in front.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good evidence.
Yeah.
You know, but because it's recorded, you weren't there to see it live with your eyes. A lot of people will say, well, that you can fake that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing I liked about the documentaries, because they did take it. They took it to who? It was a new TV, somebody from a news channel in Nevada.
Oh, yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah.
Or in Nevada, yeah.
Yeah, and
You know, it originally aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Which is odd because, you know, they have Ghost Hunters now, and Ghost Adventures is on the Travel Channel. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were on Sci-Fi one time, it's kind of funny to think about.
Yeah, it is. Mainly because that's Ghost Hunters' only competition anymore. I mean, there's other shows.
Yeah.
But none of them are drawing ratings like
any
of those.
No, a couple years ago, I remember there was Most Haunted. Yeah. I watched a couple of episodes of that. Didn't really care for it.
That was kind of an entertaining show. It wasn't really so much of a ghost hunting show as a documentary explaining places that were haunted, doing slight investigations. They bring a psychic in or something.
Yeah, which psychics are always fun, aren't they?
Yeah, some of them, yeah. Some of them I can't stand to watch.
I for the life of me, I cannot believe in psychics. I cannot believe in psychics, except for Peter James, who, in my opinion, I don't know if you're familiar with Peter James. He did a lot for sightings and a lot of other stuff. And he was on the Queen Mary or the Queen Anne. I can't remember the ship. Got a lot of great evidence on that. And he's about the only psychic that I've ever seen and believed.
I have a personal experience with a psychic, Lent Mansion in St. Louis.
Oh, Lent Mansion in St. Louis.
Yes.
Always wanted to go there.
It is an amazing place. Don't go for the ghost hunting tour. Don't do it. Go if you want to go and have the ghost experience at Lent Mansion. You got to do it a year ahead of time. But go rent a room overnight, and they will give you free run of the entire mansion to come and do an investigation with. And there is not a room in that mansion that is not haunted.
Well, the history of that place.
It's so dark.
And it's dark and tragic. Multiple suicides. Yeah, all over the place. And that dark energy definitely collects there.
And then like recently, they've opened the attic. I don't know if they're doing it on the tours or not, but I know for a few documentaries that have been there, they've opened the attic. And apparently they're somewhere in the family back, you know, when they were still big.
Right.
They had a son that was disfigured.
I've heard this story. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And they kept him in the attic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in those days, somebody with any type of disfigurement was frowned upon.
Yeah. Yeah. An embarrassment to the family. Family. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't want him to be seen. And they say that he haunts that attic heavily.
Was this interaction with the psychic?
This wasn't with me. This is with people I've talked to in a couple of documentaries I've watched that have been recent.
Right.
Now, there's a woman who, and I cannot think of her name for the life of me, but she does the ghost tours for Lent Mansion.
And she is psychic.
She claims to be.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right.
But, like, if you were to go right now to do the Lent Mansion tour for the ghost hunting, it's at night. And she goes through and she talks to the same spirits.
Same way every time.
Same spots, the same conversation every time. Right. A friend of mine who wanted to be here tonight, but he couldn't make it, has been on the same tour for about six times now. And he can literally say word for word what she's going to say when she says it.
I'm sure she appreciates that.
I'm sure she does.
Well, you know, that's reflective of the TV shows that people say, well, it's fake. It's just to sell something. Yeah. And did that have any influence on you starting your own ghost hunting investigative team? And, and when did you start investigating, by the way?
2007. Yeah, we had discussed it all throughout the beginning of the year. And, you know, we talked about putting a team together, but when my brother and sister-in-law called, they said, you know, this is happening at his mother's house.
An actual haunting.
An actual haunting, yeah. And I was like, well, we've been talking about it. Let's do this.
Right.
You know, we've got some equipment to get started. It's not great, but it's a beginning.
Right.
You know, and everybody's got to have a beginning, you know.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Look at Podzilla.
Yeah.
We're recording this at the game store on a giant white lunch table.
Yeah.
You know, everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. But when we started, the only thing I was worried about was, still in the back of my mind was the stigma from the 90s that if you believed in the paranormal,
you were a loon,
you know, you were crazy.
Right.
And I was worried about it. And granted, when we started it, I was still in high school. You know, we had tried to build a Facebook page, or it was MySpace page at the time.
Oh, now you're digging into the past. Yeah.
And some friends from high school seen it. And I got a lot of ribbing for that.
So you were ridiculed when you started this.
But as ghost hunting became mainstream and more shows came on, people started being like, oh, has this happened to you?
And, yeah. You started to get popular.
Yeah. And people start asking questions and they want to go. And I'm okay with letting people go every once in a while. But when you got five or six people wanting to go on one investigation in like one little enclosed area,
right,
you run into a problem because you end up with noise, pollution.
Noise pollution.
And they're, you know, you got people walking around stomping. You don't know if that's a footstep from a ghost or if that's somebody on your team.
And they probably are not taking it seriously. Yeah. It's a good time for them. It's a party.
Yeah.
It's not as serious as you yourself.
Yeah. On that note, with the noise population, taking people who aren't taking it serious.
Right.
The brother-in-law who's, you know, we're investigating his mother's house. This is probably the third or fourth time. And it was actually two trailers that were put together and made into one. And in the front trailer, they had the living room. And on the couch, he's sitting on the couch, and his sister is sitting right beside him. And I'm sitting in the far corner at the door with the camera recording everything. I see him flinch like something's wrong. She's, I don't know, a good foot and a half away from him on the other end of the couch.
Right.
And he just looks at me and says, you know, Tanner, why don't you come over and sit on the couch? I was like, okay. So I get up, I go sit down. I'm there for about 40 seconds until I feel a slight tug on my pant leg on the opposite side of where his sister's at. So there's nobody on this side of my pant leg. I'm like, okay, maybe I just imagined that. So I sit there a few more minutes. I feel it again. And I shake my head like this. I shake my head up and down, and brother-in-law sees me. He says, you felt it, didn't you? I was like, pulling at the pant leg? He says, yes. I was like, well, that's what I felt. And, you know, it was an instance where we both felt it. But the entire time in this investigation, his sister is sitting there clowning and laughing. And anytime we ask the question during the EVP, she wants to crack a joke and laugh.
Right.
And, you know, that night it was cool because of the instance with the pant, you know, the pant leg tugging.
Yeah.
But then that night I learned real quick, don't take just anybody goes hunting with you.
Yeah. It's the same thing with broadcasting with this, you know, everybody wants to come and watch and sit in on it. And the people that take it seriously will sit politely and listen and have an interest. Other people will joke and laugh, and it's like, it's not, you know, they don't take it seriously. And with stuff like this, you got to take it seriously because you're kind of putting your heart into it.
Yeah.
I know you put your heart into the paranormal. It's why I respect you so much as a hunter. What is the scariest thing that's happened to you on a hunt?
Oh, it actually wasn't a hunt, but it was Wagner's Hill.
Back to Wagner's Hill.
We had the same brother-in-law and his nephew. We had been to Wagner's Hill several times because the farm he lived on Lufkin Road was literally a mile and a half from Wagner's. The woods connected even behind his house. And we had a bunch of his family and his friends, and they all wanted to go to Wagner's Hill. So we drive up, and this goes into another legend folder from Wagner's Hill. They say it's bad luck if you go touch every headstone.
I've heard that, yeah.
I've
never tried it.
I have not either.
I don't believe in stuff like that usually, but I always believe that there's that one chance it's true.
This has been 5 years ago. I've been to Wagner's Hill one time since then.
Since this incident?
Since this incident, yes.
Okay.
We had one guy, you could tell he was drunk.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
It's Southern Illinois.
Yeah. It's 42 degrees outside. We're all boned up. He takes off while we walk the rest of the trail and go try to find where the old house was and the well and everything. When I come back, he's running around the cemetery. And he's literally pushing and shoving and rubbing and sitting and stepping on every headstone he could possibly find. Now, I'm skeptical of that legend. I wasn't worried about that. I'm a respectful person.
You don't mess with the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you believe in ghosts or not.
It's just a respect thing.
Right.
So, I get on to him. Well, he gets up to the top. There's a levee that separates the actual paved road from the cemetery in the woods. And there's three really gothic-looking headstones up there. He pushes one over and starts trying to push the other two over, and they wouldn't move. Well, by this time, he's literally touched every headstone in the woods.
Right.
And I said, come on, we got to go. So I start walking out. I stop because I hear him say, oh, man. I turn around. He's clutching his chest. He's pale. He's as white as paper and sweating. I'm talking profusely. It's like he's sweating as if it's 90 degrees outside.
Almost like a heart attack.
Yes. And he's clutching his chest. That's what I originally thought. This man's having a heart attack in the woods.
Now, how old was he?
He was probably, at the time, 26.
Pretty young for a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, at the time, I had all my medical training from the fire department, and I just jumped into gear, went into a whole heart attack mode. And I'm, like, trying to grab him and get him down to the truck. Well, I check his pulse. It's racing. I counted it like 110 beats a minute or something like that.
Right.
Which is, it's pretty bad for somebody his size, his age.
Big guy?
No.
Or a small guy,
small,
I mean.
Small, yeah. Very small. He just said his chest was hurting. He didn't feel right. So we got him in the back of the truck, and I said, let's go. We got to get out of here. So we start heading back to the farm. And as soon as we break the threshold, like off the road that leads to Wagner's Hill, stops sweating. His heart rate goes down. He's still kind of slurring his speech from just everything that happened.
Right.
And
but he's normalizing at this point.
Yeah. And like ever since that night, there's other stuff that happened like immediately after that.
Yeah.
I'll get into that later with other experiences I've had. But just everything that night that happened with him.
Yeah.
I've not been back there since.
To Wagner's Hill.
Yes.
Well, what's the other experiences you've had? I'm kind of curious.
Well.
Anything else? Because it almost sounds evil. Like, maybe not demonic, but and maybe not even evil, but definitely vengeful, you might say.
Well, the problem with Wagner's Hill is I don't particularly think there's anything demonic or evil out there. But when you – there's been many instances where you have, like, devil worshipers.
Oh, yeah. That's there. A big rumor. I'd always heard that as a kid, yeah.
I tell you right now, it is not a rumor.
You've seen it.
I've seen it. You go out there, you find cats laying over the headstones. It's bad stuff that people are out there. And I think that brings in whatever bad is out there.
Yeah.
Is brought in by them.
By the people that are going out there and doing these stupid things. Yeah.
He says he didn't think he was having a heart attack. He just didn't feel right, and then the sweat and the chest hurting. So I said, well, maybe he got into something bad out here. So I got him out of there. Like I said, we get off the road. He was starting to get better, and we get back to the farm, my brother-in-law's farm, where the house is. And on the back side of this property, there is the facade of an old style brick building.
Right.
And literally all it is just the base of it. It's broke off of the top. And back in the, I guess, 40s or 50s, it was a school.
Mm-hmm.
It was a colored school for that area.
Right.
And there was a fire and it burnt down.
Now, was the fire?
Don't know that.
Don't know if it was set or if it was accidental.
And we do not know if anybody died in this fire.
Okay.
Okay. This is a big story that wraps everything up into this property.
Right.
We learned later on that back during the time of the school when it was still open before it burned, there was a family called Ditters that lived up the road.
Right.
And apparently they had children that went to school there. By this time, there are three trailers out there now. And the brother-in-law, his mother's house, and he's got a nephew that lives on the other side. And the nephew's got two kids. The oldest one, and I believe heavily in children being very sensitive to paranormal.
Like cats?
Yes.
Children and cats?
Yeah, and cats. And dogs and just...
Period. Squirrels, who knows? Yeah.
Armadillos.
He had ponies.
Yeah.
Like My Little Ponies. My Little Pony, yeah.
He had an imaginary friend called Ditters. He came up with a nickname all of his own.
How old was this kid?
He was maybe three, four.
Three, four. Had no knowledge of the history
no
of this place.
Whatsoever. And they witnessed in this house, like once again, cabinets opening.
Right.
They had electronics turning off and on that shouldn't be turning off and on.
Right.
Dishes flying off counters and out of the cabinets. Same thing as the rest of the property. Like I said, these children went to the Ditters that lived up the road.
Yeah.
The Dittersleys is what they were called.
Okay.
They lived up the road and, they went to school at this school. Like I said, we have no idea if anybody died in the burning of this school.
Right.
That night we went to Wagner's Hill and he's having his heart attack, I think. We get back to the farm. No one knows about the imaginary friend or the fact that the big half brick building in the back was a school.
Yeah.
Except me and the brother-in-law. So we're sitting there. I'm trying to get him to calm down. He's getting there. He's getting there. We sat there about 15 minutes just talking about what everybody's seen. And he just stands straight up off the tailgate of the truck. And he looks down the road back towards Wagner's Hill. And I look at him and he's staring hard, not blinking, nothing. Just
trance.
Boring holes into what's there.
Just in a trance, staring.
Yeah. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he says, please tell me you see that. I'm like, see what? What do you see? He repeats it again. Please tell me, you see that? I'm like, what? He takes off running towards whatever he sees. He runs out into the middle of the road and stops. I catch up to him. He turns to me and says, please tell me you've seen that kid in the street. No one knows the school was there. No one knows there was an imaginary friend out there. And it was one of those things. I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
But when you have a school that burned down and there's no, like, we don't have evidence that anybody died there.
Right.
But you have a child with an imaginary friend that has the same, almost exact same name as a family that lived on the road at the time.
It adds up.
Everything adds up.
Yeah.
So that was one of my most terrifying nights because, I mean, we weren't just getting evidence. It was getting dangerous at that time.
Yeah.
Because just the way he was acting. It's like I knew we were going to the emergency room with him and he was going to die or something that night.
Well, are you afraid of ghosts? Do instances like that make you afraid of what you do?
To an extent, like I said, I don't go to Wagner's Hill anymore.
Yeah.
And
I don't blame you. I went there one time with Lindsay and Robert and, we got that picture, but that was about all we got. Yeah. But we're looking through, we got the camera, we're looking through all the photos, nothing, nothing, nothing. And all of a sudden, and I'm going to post this, on the podcast, below so they can see it. You just see this glowing, almost like arm, appendage reaching out and trying to grab me. Obviously, we didn't see that at the time. I have showed you that picture before, and I wanted to chalk it up to a spider web or something like that. But I don't know. It's pretty creepy, you know?
I've seen, like I said, you showed me that picture before, and I've seen other instances where photos like that have been taken, not at Wagner's Hill, but at cemeteries close by.
Yeah.
When you come off of Wagner's Hill, you travel on a little road called Shiloh Road.
Shiloh, yeah.
Continue taking Shiloh, you run into two cemeteries. One's called Caro Cemetery, which is in Villa Ridge. And
logically, of course. Logically, yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is, I think it's St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Cemetery, I don't usually get too much there, but Caro is a very, very old cemetery. And I had some friends that went out there and they've taken pictures, and you literally see the same phenomenon happening
out
of people's heads.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it looked like it was going for my head, actually, yeah. Now that you mention it. Have you ever investigated in Caro,
like
Illinois?
The city? Oh, yes, yeah.
Because I've always wanted to go to the old hospital that was there. Never had the courage to do it. More afraid of the people that might be living in the hospital than the ghosts that might be living there.
That's the problem you run into with trying to investigate the old hospital, old St. Mary's Hospital. You have people, like, you have homeless people that take shelter in there all the time.
Right.
You have cars driving by with bass going real heavy.
Kind of like tonight, actually. Yeah. I want to point out, if you've heard that throughout the show, it's because Mr. Calvert, despite telling me he could do this on Easter, cannot do it on Easter. We're actually recording this the night before Easter, and it's a Saturday night. We're recording this on Broadway and Cape Girardeau in the lovely Gaming Grounds building. And if you live in Cape Girardeau or you like to party in Cape Girardeau, you will know that many cars drive down Broadway with the bass up as high as possible. So I'm sure you guys are hearing a lot of great music tonight in the background that we don't have to pay for because the people are driving by listening to it. Now that I've distracted you with that little complaint,
yeah.
Go ahead, please.
I've never gotten to investigate the hospital. I've had permission. I've been in there.
In the daytime, I'm sure.
Yeah, in the daytime. In the daytime, it's not real safe to go in there without police department knowing you're there.
It's not safe to go in anywhere in Caro without the police following you constantly.
Yeah, but
both, like, police officers.
Yeah, but I mean, you can do an investigation there during the day. I've done several investigations during the day. I mean, there you do get a lot of your evidence at night.
Well, you know, I've never understood that. Why is it that you always investigate at night? Is it just it's easier to see? I've never understood why everything is in the pitch black when they do it, because most people that report ghostly activity or paranormal activity see it in the daytime.
Yeah.
They see it normally. You know, is there any truth to the fact that, you know, they call midnight or 3 a.m. or whatever the witching hour? And
3 a.m., yeah.
Yeah, and that you see more stuff at night. Is that true?
I've never got any proof that that's accurate.
You think it just makes better television?
I think it makes better television, and some people may have better luck with that.
Right.
Unfortunately for us, sometimes staying till 3 a.m. is not an option.
Right, especially in Caro.
Yeah. There's an old building in Caro. It's called it was an old Elks building, like an Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
And before that, it was a hospital. A man came through. He was vengeful against the Catholic Church and opened his own hospital. So there's been people die in this place.
Yeah.
I don't believe that somebody has to die there to make it haunted. It could be a place of happy memories.
Right.
Now, back in the, I'm assuming, 40s or 50s, this place was the Elks Lodge. Back then, the Elks Lodge was a happening place. There was music and dances every night.
And this is in Caro.
This is in Caro.
Yeah.
I
didn't know there were any happier places in Caro, especially during that time period.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of Caro,
man. Yeah.
That place is cursed.
Well, there was a... It was pretty happening. I mean, there were bands there every night, big band. Like it was popular for big band music.
Right.
The gentleman, once again, the gentleman who was supposed to be here tonight couldn't make it. He's the one that sent me to this place for the first time. He took me there, and he was telling me about when he was in high school. This is the experience that got him into the paranormal. Besides aliens, he was into aliens already.
X-Files.
90s.
That's a damn good show.
Yeah, it was great.
You can't fault that show. Gillian Anderson. Oof.
Yeah.
One of my first crushes. David Duchovny, too. And Krychek.
Anyway.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, trying to
Sorry.
Somebody. He says him and some friends went to the hospital. They were just going to go party. They weren't there for ghost hunting. It was the middle. I wouldn't say middle of the day. It was dusk. Sun was going down. And
they're going into an abandoned building to party.
Yeah.
The setup to most horror films.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. They get in there and they get about to the second floor, and on the third floor is where the dance floor and the bar and the stage was for the, you know, the band and everything.
Right.
He went in first to make sure it was all clear, And as he gets up to the second floor, he literally hears big band music playing on the floor above him.
Now, this abandoned place, I'm assuming no electricity.
No electricity.
There should be no
electricity
reason.
Above the first floor.
Which is where the sound was coming from.
Yeah, the sound was coming from the third floor.
Right. So there should be no reason that there should be any music playing
None
in this place.
Whatsoever.
There weren't. Most people don't drive by Caro like they do on Broadway tonight.
Yeah.
Playing big band music.
No, absolutely not.
Right. Unless you're the most extreme hipster, which I don't think Caro has hipsters.
I definitely don't think that's.
No.
No. You know, that scared him enough, he left. And from that point on, he's like, I want to figure this out more. I want to get more into this.
Right.
At a later investigation we had, he took me there a couple times already. And we went back there. And we're doing an EVP session. The EVP sessions we did there, we sit in a big circle on the dance floor with a recorder between us. And we sit there for 45 minutes to an hour saying nothing. We're sitting there, and I guess 45 minutes into it, we went back to listen to it. 45 minutes into it, we hear a woman saying, "Here comes the pie, Hubert."
Pie Hubert?
Here comes the pie.
Oh, here comes Hubert. The pie, comma, Hubert. Hubert, okay.
Yes. And there it was also, served food there too.
Yeah.
And there was a kitchen on the backside of the floor we were on.
And I'm assuming nobody named Hubert was with you.
No one named Hubert.
Do you know anybody named Hubert?
I know several people named Hubert. Actually, one of the gentlemen who was with us, his grandfather's name was Hubert.
Oh.
Yeah.
From the area?
Yeah. From Caro, yeah.
There you go.
Now, whether it was him that the EVP was talking to, I don't know. But, it's one of those places that helps me prove my theory of, like I said, a place doesn't have to have a tragic history
to be haunted. Yeah. Yeah. Well, ghosts attach themselves to items. They attach themselves to places.
People.
I mean, you've heard of Robert the Doll.
Yeah.
I'd love to go into that sometime.
That is a terrifying story.
Yeah. There's so much with the paranormal that we could talk about. And Lindsay's shaking her head. No, she wants nothing to do with Robert the Doll. I think I've played that for her before. There's so many stories with the paranormal. There's so many things we could talk about, and I want to keep talking about them. But I made a promise to myself and God that I would try to keep these things wrangled in at a certain time. So Tanner, I want you to come back. I want you to come back and talk more ghosts with me. There are a lot of things that we have left to discuss for part two on that. I do want to talk about one more thing, though, before we wrap this up completely. We talked about this before the show. So you were with the Little Egypt Investigative Paranormal Society,
yes.
Which is what you did before. And I think you've been on a hiatus recently with that?
Yeah. What happened? People move. They move on.
Yeah.
What was a team of about six people dwindled down to two?
Which is you and
my wife,
Brandy. Yeah. Who's here with us too, Brandy? Hello.
Hello.
So we're in a rebuilding phase. We've got friends who want to come join us, you included.
Myself included, yes. I'd love to investigate with you.
And then, on top of trying to buy new equipment, we've gotten some already. We're trying to come up with a new name because I want to shed that.
You want to start fresh?
I want to start fresh. I want to start over. We're going to eventually build a new Facebook page and have an email address up, and I'm hoping to have the email address up soon, like here in the next couple of days, and I can get it to you, and maybe we can have some listeners email some stories into us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next time you come back, we'll get some stories from some listeners, maybe have another guest or two on. Yep. They can talk about their personal experiences. Tanner, I want to thank you for coming in here and doing the show with me. We've been talking about doing this for a long time.
Very long time.
And like I said, we could go for hours on this because you and I have gone for hours talking about this. A lot of stuff out there to be afraid of.
And once again, like paranormal just isn't ghosts.
No.
Yeah, aliens.
Yeah.
It's hours and hours and hours.
The alien show is coming.
Yeah, coming very soon.
I've mentioned this a couple times. The alien show is coming. I got a lot of talk about aliens. I don't think I'm going to get Stanton Friedman on here again. I'm going to drop his name again in case he's listening.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to do another show, let me know. Tanner, once again, thank you. I want to thank everybody for listening. Have a happy Easter. And I think today has something to do with ghosts, doesn't it? Or a ghost. Somebody died.
A ghost, yeah.
Somebody died and came back. If you see him, tell him I'm looking for him. Tanner, thank you once again. I want to thank everybody for listening. Have a great Easter.